start by giving the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I have some exciting news that we're going to share partway through the service that I think you're going to be stirred about. It's just good news about what God's doing for each of us. But you know, today, I just want to encourage you with the idea that life is extremely busy. And you know, in the Bible, it speaks through Daniel, the prophetic word was that there's going to come a time where time appears to speed up. And we're going to be in the age of information, which means information is going to be released in such an abundance that man is going to be overwhelmed. Now, another unfortunate thing that it says is that during that time, right will become wrong, and wrong will become right in the eyes of man because of their reasoning. And boy, we were in the abundance of reasoning in the age of information. Do you know that they say that by the time a computer or a new phone is released, it is already 2 years obsolete at the very moment it hits the store? That's how fast information is being developed. But in all of that, I want to remind you, woo, that for us Christians, we already have the revelation of the most profound information that's ever been released, and that is that Jesus is Lord, that our Father in heaven loves us, and the Holy Ghost will help us. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we remember that in the speed of life and everything that's accessible to us, we've still got to learn how to turn down and turn off those life things that are available to us so we can be infused with time with God. Amen? Don't be so busy that you can go days without prayer. Don't be so busy that you can go days without reading the Word. And make sure you're not so busy that you can go days without honoring the one who has given you life to breathe. Amen? And so today we want to make sure that if no other time, when we come together on a Sunday morning worship or when we have time with God, listen, it's time for us to let all that stuff go and let all that stuff leave our mind. And it's time for us to step into the presence and the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Before we step into worship, I want us to look to the back right corner of the church. And hello, Randy, and hello, Mary. I tell you what, they had a wedding ceremony of ceremonies yesterday. We had a good time with them, and they were stepping into that moment where God has brought them together, and we're going to pray and believe God for them. Amen? They were both excited, making commitments, and we're just going to believe God that they are going to continue to grow in the things of the Lord. Amen? And praise God. Right now, we're going to step right into worship. And I want to welcome you all out there to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. The city of God, a place of outpouring, a place where God is doing the abundance in our life. But at the same time, I tell you, God is just beginning to do what he's going to do in us and for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning.
Be the same.
This morning. We thank you for the day of Pentecost, God, and we ask you to have your way in us this morning. God, that you would speak to us. God, that you would change us by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. There's nothing worth more. Presence. Glory, God. song is surrounded with that sound of praise that we have. They sent out the worshipers in front of that battle. So we're going to take our praise this morning, and we're going to fight our battles in praise. We have that weapon inside of us, our voice, and we're going to use it this morning. We already have that victory this morning, so let's praise His name. Because this is how I fight my battles. 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 Come on, it may look.
This is how
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, with all the power, with all the authority of the blood, the power of the Holy Ghost, God, come upon the name and journey with her, God. Father, you are leading her steps, God, and we step into tomorrow, God, with a rejoicing, God, with a confidence of your rescuing power that's upon her life, Father. Lord, you are causing her to rise up and more than she's ever been, Father. She's a strong, powerful young lady of faith. She's a strong, powerful young lady that you have put your hand on, Father. Lord, you destined her. You designed her. You created her, Father. And Lord, I declare that her best days of life are right out in front of her. God, we declare your goodness upon her, God, and the full measure of her journey and purpose, what's in her heart to be done, and we thank you for it. Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Roger, come up here. I just want to pray for Roger and just encourage him and just let the Lord keep strengthening him. Does he want me to come there? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you. Roger, I tell you what, the Lord still has more for you, my friend. Amen. Amen. The Lord still has more for you, Roger. Lord, I tell you, he said to Joshua after many, many years and days, he said, Joshua, you do have a few years on you, but there's still much in the kingdom of God and still much land for us to conquer, and there are still things for you to see. And I'm asking God to just strengthen you and come upon you with healing and strengthening and with a joy that just overflows because God loves you and he's with you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, we just declare in Jesus' name that God, the strength of God would come upon him, Father. Heal him, strengthen him, God. Lord, and let your joy be full in him, Father. Lord, we just declare, God, that the dreams that are still in his heart and in his spirit, God, that, Father, they would come forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that there are great days yet out in front of him. And, God, we declare your blessing upon him. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Miss Heather, come up here for a minute. Hallelujah. Miss Heather, praise God. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Heather, God has not brought you this far to have any part of your heart or your dream fall short. God has not brought you this far to have you see destruction. He brought you this far to see abundant life. Amen? And I tell you what, listen to me, God is telling me to tell you to declare, to stand strong, to rejoice, and to know that what's ahead of you is victory. Amen? And the seed of the righteous shall be saved. Amen? And the goodness of God will come upon us. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Heather, God. Lord, we rejoice with her faith and what she has accomplished already, God. God, that she is more than a conqueror, Father, and that you have brought victory into her life. Now, Father, we pray blessing over her children, God, and over her household and over her future. And God, we declare that the seed of the righteous are saved, God. And Lord, we just declare blessing over Heather, God, that this year will finish as her strongest ever. And God, it is actually just the beginning of the potential of what you have for her life, Father. And Lord, we thank you for strengthening her. We thank you for rescuing and saving our children, God. And Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Jeremy and Janelle, come up here. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Many of you might not know it, and some of you have asked me, and you've been missing these two, but the truth is they've been through such a transformation of God's blessing that it's almost overwhelming, isn't it? I want you to know that just in the last month or so, they received a car by faith. They received a house. They have received a house that belongs to them. Jeremy has been getting promoted at work and been assigned to travel. But with all that being said, their pastor is still telling them that we need to come home and be where God's planted us so that we can rejoice together. Amen? But I just want to declare blessing over them because God has done something and God is going to do more. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the middle of what you've done for Jeremy and Janelle, God, Father, the yet is to be seen and to be told, Father. Lord, the realm of restoration, God, with family, with children, God, with grandchildren, Father, the realm of restoration for them, God, is powerful and it's abundant, God. And Lord, I just declare your blessing upon them, God. God, you're giving them the ability to manage every supernatural realm that you have opened for their life, Father. Lord, you're not going to allow them to be overwhelmed, God. You're going to give them a just weight and a balance to everything, Father. And Lord, I just declare that your greatness is going to stay upon them and it's going to come more and more. And they're going to see the fullness of what you have for them, God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you what, I'm going to pray for a couple other people at the end of this service today because God is not done. And I'm telling you that God is a good, powerful God. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to know, and I want you to know that today, and this is going to be our nature. It's going to happen to you, so just be ready for it. But I want you to know that we're missing Pastor Jared today because he's actually helping with worship at the Botkins campus. Amen. He's at the main house helping them because they had a lot of people missing. And I want you to know that Pastor Regina is not here with us only because she's at the Urbana campus helping them with some things that they're transitioning to down in Urbana. So we are the church of the second mile. We are the church that's called to help others. Amen. It's just what we do. Come on, give yourself a hand clap. You know, I want you to know that I've heard over and over, every time we do a wedding or do something, people are amazed at the love and the touch and the outreach that you guys are providing to other people. And I want you to know that I get the honor of hearing all throughout the community the things that you guys do and the love that you're releasing into people's life. Continue to do what you do. Continue to be who you are. Listen, it's a part of our destiny. It's a part of our DNA to today after the service. We do have the children's church meeting for Vacation Bible School. And let me tell you something. I've already got people that aren't a part of the church that's asking me when we're doing Vacation Bible School this year. Do you know that you have people get saved? And I've had people come up to me and say, my children went to your Vacation Bible School and they got saved. Hallelujah. Listen, you guys need to get ready because it's just like this. You know, I want to share with you just a few things, but I do want to remind the men that this Saturday we have our men's breakfast. And I'm going to be there to eat with you and eat good. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the day after that we have Father's Day. Amen. That's a great blessing. Praise the name of the Lord. So hopefully us men will get to eat a couple times that weekend. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to just share with you just for a minute because, you know, coming into July, I'd like to have as many of these turned in as possible of people declaring what they're going to give to the building program. And I do want to say something because I heard this several years back. I hope it's still not something that you guys would think. But I heard that someone was afraid to give a building fund commitment because they thought that in some church, crazy place they were part of, they had to sign letters of commitment and all kinds of stuff. Listen, this is a covenant between you and God. I touch my faith with you, but I guarantee you that there would be no way that I would come and try to hunt you down and see what you pledged and what you gave. That is between you and God, and don't ever think that we'd ever be attached to anything that's not just faith and of the family of God. Do you hear me? Loud and clear. Now, nobody said that here. Nobody thought that here. But it happened, I guess, in our community somewhere. So I just want to make sure that we would never do anything like that. But I want to talk to you about our faith commitment because just this week, we were at the week of Pentecost down in Botkins. And if you were there on a Wednesday night, and I'm also going to have a quick meeting with you to give you some more building updates and a couple updates on another thing. As soon as we turn the camera off today, we're going to have a private family meeting. Listen, all the viewers out there, we absolutely love you. We're glad that you're watching. We pray for you. We hope someday you get to come and visit with us, but we are going to have a little family chat just after the service today. Just want to share a few things with you. But I'm going to share this with you right now. We were down in Botkins, and the prophet Tim Bagwell was preaching. And Dr. Bagwell gets done, and he calls us out, and he calls pastors out, and he's giving us a word. But for us, he talked about the favor that's already on our building. He said, because when your building's built, it's going to represent a transformation in your community. And he was declaring some things that other people of God, other churches are going to be touched by what we do. And I believe that. You understand, we support every house of God in this community that's preaching the gospel. We believe for them. We love them. We love the other churches in this community. And he was declaring that what's going to happen is that people that don't even attend your church are going to start giving into it as a sign of what God's doing. So your crazy pastor was out doing what he does every week. I come to town, and Saturday I was out at the land, and I was picking up the trash. I picked up a whole bag of trash off of our land. It wasn't our stuff, you know, just stuff that flew in there. And the minute I finished that, I got up on that cement, and I was preaching the gospel and thanking God a little bit out there, just vision building. And I came off the land, and I put the bag of trash in the car, got my vehicle, and looked at my phone in case Sweetie had called me, and she hadn't, but someone else did. I missed the call. They said, call us back. I called them back, and within 30 seconds of me finishing thanking God for that word and that it was in place and released, someone said, hey, our family came into a sum of money, and we want to sow some seed. And they said, we want you to know that the first seed we thought about was only believed kitten, and we're releasing $4,000 into your church. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that a couple years ago when we were struggling with the sewer design and the EPA extended us out a year and a half, I was at the end of my rope and the end of that delay, and I was praying. And I want you to know that someone else called us that has never even come to one service here, and they released a check into our sewer for $10,000. Now, I'm telling you, you better get yourself stirred up, because God is speaking to you. I want you to be growing now. Don't wait till the building opens. I want you to be asking God, God, move out of me what needs to be moved. Increase my love level. Increase my faith. Bring me together in unity and love more and more with the family of faith I'm a part of, so that each one of us can carry the responsibilities that God is releasing to us. Amen? Because they're coming our way. God's with us. God's hand is on your life. And he's not just looking at me and Pastor Regina. He's looking at each one of you, and he wants you to know that your faith is producing fruit. God loves you, and your hand touching the lives of others is critical for the future. Amen? So that's my offering message this morning, that God is with us, God is building, and God is doing what he does. So did I release the children yet? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to release the children and pray over the offering message. Hallelujah. Well, I'm holding them up from their snack and from their joy and from all the goodness they get to do down there. Amen. But yeah, it must be of the Lord for them to hear that testimony. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Listen, God is looking to transform your life. God is looking to revolutionize you. Listen, let's be thankful for what he's done. But I'm telling you, get your heart open. Get your eyes open for God. We want more of him. We need more of him. And we're going to see more of him. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory, God. Father, we thank you for your greatness, God. We thank you for your hand upon our lives, God. Father, we thank you that you have given us a house of prayer. And Father, as we say, God, the Bible says that there shall be meat in your house, God. God, and I'm not just talking about a natural meat, Father. I'm talking about the spiritual meat of the word. And God, I'm talking about the supernatural meat of the healing, the Holy Ghost, the provision, God, the supernatural work that only you can do, God. And Lord, I thank you that as we give, it's given back, pressed down, running together with good measure, Father. And Lord, I thank you, God, that from places we don't even understand, God, not just to the church, but even in the lives of individuals, God, there are people who have no idea, but right now from sources, God, that they would never even understand, that would surprise them, God. There's a release coming to our lives, and God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good. This with me, strange things. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to preach to you a message today that the Lord has given me, and it talks about on this day, boy, we have seen strange things. Amen. And I'm just going to begin to speak to you, because This is the day of Pentecost, amen? This is the day where we symbolically as a church remember the outpouring of the Lord by the power of the Holy Ghost that came after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the cross, amen? And before we get there, I just got to make a declaration, and I just got to speak to you what God was speaking to me this week, because I want you to know that the Lord is speaking to us as a church, as a nation of believers, of the body of Christ around the world, and also as individuals. And I'm going to read a scripture to you where the Lord calls a young man by name, and then he calls the nation of Israel, which always represents the church. It represents the congregations of God, but it also represents the nation of the people of God that's threaded throughout every nation in the world. Amen? I want you to know you better get ready, because you have brothers and sisters that are going to be in heaven that are from every nation of the world. Amen? I want you to know that there are Christians throughout all of the world, and the Lord said it would be that way. He said, take this gospel into every nation, because I want you to know that whether you like it or not, whether we are blue, black, and green, there is one race called the human race. Woo! Boy, don't make me dance this morning. And that race represents the love of God that he put upon all people. Listen, when God created Adam, I want you to know, it's as though he created every man and every woman. He created every creed, every nationality. He created all of us and all the differences we have. And God wants you to know how much he loves you. And it says in the book of Isaiah 43:1, it says this directly to God's people. It says, but now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Woo! Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Listen, I tell you what. I want you to understand something. You belong to God. Hallelujah. You know, if Regina was here, I'd say, baby, I'm your husband. I belong to you, and I'm glad I am. But before you even knew who I was, I belonged to the Lord. Amen? And I just want to speak to you today, because God says some things here that are powerful. He says, first of all, because I know you and I've called you by name, understand this, you are redeemed. And the very fact that you are redeemed, the very fact that you are under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, the very fact that you are a child of the living God breaks all necessity for you to have fear in your life. You break fear off of you right now, because you can look fear right in the eye. You can look everybody who's ever doubted you, who's ever come against you, who's never believed in you. You can look every one of them in the eye and say, hey, I have no fear because I belong to God. And if you belong to the Lord, you better understand something, that he gives an absolute understanding to those that are his, that he will bring provision upon your life, he'll bring deliverance upon your life, he will bring rescue upon your life. And I want you to understand something today, Christians, that when you step into salvation, it's an absolute guarantee that struggle is going to come against you. When you step into salvation, in the minute you make a declaration in your life that I want to be more like the Lord, I want to go farther in God, I want to do more in my community, I want to be more of an example, I just want to follow the will of God. Some of you are going to give birth to dreams. Some of you are going to give birth to new relationships. Some of you are going to step into moments. And I want you to know that when resistance comes against you, it is absolutely not a sign that you are out of line with God. In fact, I want to tell you this morning that resistance and trouble is the first thing that's going to happen
that's going to absolutely confirm to you that probably for the first time in your life, you are closer to your God destiny than you've ever been. Because when you make a decision to move out of comfort zone, when you make a decision to move out of a place where the world has carved you out, when you make decisions to move out of a place where the devil has carved you out, to say, listen, I recognize this day that I'm redeemed, I have no fear, I belong to Him, and He has a purpose for me. Listen to me, you're going to scare the daylights out of the devil. You're going to scare the daylights out of the kingdom of darkness, and you're going to put them in an upheaval, and they're going to try to come against you, because the first thing the enemy's going to try to do is shake you out of the ownership and the destiny that belongs to you. Don't ever forget that your Lord and Savior, the very first thing that happened when He stood up and said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears today, this is who I am. The first thing that happened was the enemy came up against him, took him out into the wilderness, and said, no, you're none of these. And Jesus had to stand there and say, no, it is written. Woo-hoo-hoo. I don't have to have fear. Not only am I redeemed, but I am here. I'm telling you that you need to be in the Word of God and make sure that you get your identity and your understanding of who you are from the Lord. I want you to know something. The very fact that God says you belong to Him should make you understand that you cannot exist in this world without the Word of God in you, without prayer in you, and without a relationship with God. In fact, I want to put you on notice, and I don't mean to hurt your little feelings this morning or your big feelings, because I can't measure the size of them. I don't know if you're like Teflon and you have strong feelings that can handle anything, or you might be wearing your feelings on your sleeve this morning. So my goal is not to offend you, but my goal is to tell you the truth. The Bible clearly says that you have not even begun to live life at the fullest potential until you step into salvation. I want you to know that if you didn't get saved till later on, I'm not putting any minute. I don't want to demean your past. I don't want to demean how you lived till now. I don't want to demean anything you've done, but I want you to know something. If you have lived life to this point without God's help as a child of God being saved through Jesus Christ, then you have not even stepped into opportunity to release the full potential of your identity. We could go to John chapter 5, 24 through 30, and first of all, it'll tell you that until you believe upon the Lord, you don't even pass from death into life. In other words, you are living in darkness, and you've never been released to the full potential of who you are until you got saved. So I'll tell you what, that's the first thing you ought to celebrate, is that if you've had a whole lot of failure before you were a Christian, you can put it on the fact that you didn't know God. And listen, if we've had some failure after we've been a Christian, we can put it on the fact that we're just learning how to get good at this thing. Amen? But I tell you right now, as a believer, it is your responsibility to understand something, that if you belong to God, it's time for us to have His name. If we belong to God and we do, then there is a heritage and a nature that becomes ours. Philip Jr. might not like it, but whether he likes it or not, once he stands beside me, everybody can see features in him that says, yep, that's absolutely your daddy. Now, he might not like it. Of course, I think he's pretty handsome for himself. But at any rate, what I want you to understand is that if you will step into the fact that you belong to God, there is going to become the absolute fact that you cannot deny a nature that belongs. You are redeemed. You don't have to be fearful. And you can have an absolute certainty that if you work with God, you will see the supernatural. And if you work with God, you will see the miraculous. And if you work with God, you will see outcomes that would never happen without His help. And it is time for us as people to get ready to step into the fact that as a Christian, it should be normal for you to see unusual things. I want you to know that we have to be careful because the age of information and scientific discovery, I like it, but I want you to know we have to be careful and make sure that it never replaces our faith in God. Listen, I believe in medicine, I believe in science, I believe in all the advancements of mankind, but I want you to know that humanity still comes to the end of themselves, and when we come to the end of ourselves, we had better get our hopes up, we should get excited, we should get ready to dance and shout, because our delivery is going to come from God. Listen, when you come to the end of what other people can do, it's not a time for you to get discouraged and think that it's over and think that your life is going to come to nothing. I'm telling you, when the world doesn't have an answer for you anymore, it is time for you to get excited because you can start talking about the strange things of God. Whew. Amen. Listen, it's time for us as people to start getting disappointed if we don't see. It's time for us to quit questioning our identity, who we are, the love of God for our life. It's time for us to quit questioning the one or two times that we fail or fall down. It's time for us to repent when we do those things. But it's time for us to not let any negativity or disappointment overwhelm you. It's time for you to be stirred. It's time for you to be encouraged. And it's time for you to believe that your expectation should be to see the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm about to tell myself about something that I wasn't even going to tell you. Hallelujah. But I might as well. But we're going to read the next scripture. Oh, now I got him wondering, what in the world is he going to say? That guy's a strange fellow. We don't know what he's going to say. I heard someone say amen pretty readily to that. But I want you to see something here in the book of Acts, chapter 2, since we're talking about the day of Pentecost. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, first of all, could you imagine if we were sitting in here right now? And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell on us in such a way that all of a sudden, what would you do if a little flame started on you? My goodness, I could see the fire extinguishers coming my way. I could see the water being thrown, and I could see someone coming up here saying, oh my goodness, Pastor, something's wrong. You're on fire. It would be a... Yes, amen, amen. Burn, baby, burn. Listen, it would be a strange thing, wouldn't it? It would be strange, it would be unusual, but also because it would be God, it would be the best thing that ever happened. Listen, I want to remind you of when you first got saved. Many of us, we didn't get saved because we were on the top of the world. Many of us got saved when we were at the lowest we had ever been. Many of us got saved when we were half drunk, discouraged, embittered, broken down. Our life had fallen apart. We might have suffered loss. We might have suffered abuse. We might have self-inflicted ourselves with alcohol, addiction, bad decisions, all kinds of stuff. And we still cannot tell you how it happened. But when we made the decision to receive Jesus, do you remember that you had joy? Do you remember that you might have broke out in a little bit of laughter? Do you remember that stuff lifted off of you and you said, wait a minute, I got the same bill problem as I had when I came to the church. I got the same bad relationships around me that I got to deal with tomorrow. But I don't know what happened, but when I said Jesus come in, it seemed like the weight of the world lifted off of my shoulders. I couldn't tell anybody why or what. It was a strange event, but something had happened, and I knew that I was alive at a whole new place. And I'm telling you that if your life started off strange through salvation, don't you think that you should have an expectation of strange things still happening in your life? Listen, the people that experience Pentecost on this day, they have been with the Lord before the Passover came. They have been with Jesus to see the miracles. They have been with him when bread got increased. And let me tell you something. After he went up and they saw him after his resurrection, buddy, they were sitting in there waiting to see something was going to happen. And I tell you what, when the Lord came upon them, he said that it was a strange thing. And listen to this. Listen to what it says. Now, when this was noised abroad, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation and under heaven. I should tell you this morning that your pastor was in here early. And I've been out there with the rain. It was all a little bit rainy, and I was just rejoicing and praying about let the rain come, because we've had so much prophecy about the rain coming and all that. And I came in here, and I got to tell you that I preached it empty seats this morning. But I didn't preach like I'm preaching to you. I preached in the Holy Ghost. And I just said, "Ooh, Lord, what would ever happen if I got to come in the service and just preach in the Holy Ghost the whole time? And everybody understood in their own language what I was saying." Amen? I think thank you. I was shouting. I had myself stirred up a little bit this morning. And I say that to say this to you. Look at what it says here in this scripture. It says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded." In other words, this was stranger than fear. "They were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own name. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" It means that it did not matter if they were from Egypt. It did not matter if they were Italian. It did not matter if they were African. It did not matter whatever region and nation they came from. It did not matter how many dialects was in their area. Every person that was not of the Jewish Galilean faith and was not of those 120 heard declarations of God in their own language. And I'm telling you right now, people, that if you think you've had a strange day in the Lord, think about the strange day they just had in the Lord. I mean, there was no denying the power of God. There was no denying the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And there was no denying. I mean, what would we do if we came upon a group of Africans and they were speaking an unknown language, but each of us heard straightforward, this is that which was spoken of. We are speaking in a heavenly language released to us by Jesus Christ, because he's went up and we've been able to receive the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, it was so crazy that day that they thought they were all drunk. How do we know that? Because just a few scriptures later, Peter said, standing up in verse 14, and lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." I'm telling you, but it's time for us to believe and know that the goodness and the joy of God on our life could seem so strange that people think we're drunk because of the joy we have. And when they start asking you, "Man, I need some of that that you're drinking," tell them, "You can have it. All you need to do is receive it." I mean, think about the presence and the power of God that was on them that day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. in this time and in this world where everybody is wondering what it's going to take and what's going to have to happen, I'm telling you right now that it's going to take the church setting themselves for times of seeking God just like the way the old church did. Listen, I tell you what, we are too fast food oriented. We want to be isolated to ourselves. We don't want to express ourselves. We don't want to extend ourselves. I'm telling you that this move came upon these people because they were willing to set themselves apart and set themselves in a place and say, listen to me, I know all this stuff that's going on in the world, and I know that you think this is important and you think this is important, but I'm telling you that there's a time during the day where the cell phone and Facebook must be put down. There's a time in your life where work needs to be shut off, and there's a time where you are going to have to go and get yourself in the presence of God until the strangeness of the Holy Ghost comes upon your life and gives you a turnaround. Listen, I'm telling you that as Christians in today's world, we have got to be concerned if we're not willing to take time to hear, see, and experience what God wants to do in our life. Listen to me. I want to read to you just one more thing out of Luke chapter 5. Ooh, I got to dig into this a little bit. Are you ready? Say, strange days and strange things belong to me. And it came to pass, this is Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Wow. Now, I should have went up and read how the Lord came out of the mountain praying. But we can just know that that happened. That Jesus set himself apart, withdrew himself, went up in the mountain and prayed. And when he came down, the presence and the power of God was there to heal. You know, I want you to know that sometimes we need healing in our lives, healing in our homes. And I'm asking, how much time have you had to withdraw yourself and pray so that when you step back in that living room where you used to be fighting at each other's neck, you can step in there in the presence of God again? Well, hallelujah. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find, by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop and let him down through the piling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. I want to put you on notice that wouldn't it be great, and I believe this is going to happen, when we come into the church and the presence of God is so fully in the place that the crowd even covered the exit to the point where you couldn't navigate through. I'm telling you that when that happens to us, even in the new church, hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad Pastor Regina's not here today because she worries about these things. But I'm giving you absolute authority to climb that building, rip that brand new roof off, and lift somebody right down in the dictionary. A strange day. Think about this. How strange is it that the church was so filled with the presence of God that people couldn't even get in? And these people were so moved in their spirit that this man needed a touch. That wouldn't it be strange to see men scaling a building? Even way back then, how strange would it be to see them scaling a building, ripping a roof off, and lowering someone down? Think about the idea of lowering somebody that's already paralyzed. What happens if the couch slips over? What happens if the strings break? But these guys were so strange in their faith towards the Lord that they thought, it doesn't matter, Jesus can handle it all, and even if he falls off of his couch, if he lands in front of the Lord, that brother's going to be touched. Oh, now I got to ask you something. When have we had faith in our heart that was so strange that we didn't think if people thought we were crazy, we didn't care? It's time for us to get out of our comfort zone and get into the faith of God. It should be normal for you to be considered strange. It should be on you like it was on these people, that if the Lord opens up a time of worship or an opportunity to be in the presence of God, why is it that we're not strange enough that we would consider it strange if we weren't there? Come on, give me a shout. I want to just ask you a couple questions as we look down through this. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Oh, I got to come back and tell you this again. Through the calling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now I got to ask this again. What are we doing enough that Jesus can see our faith? Do we have the tenaciousness that if we came to the church and the church was full to the point where we couldn't get in, would we take someone who we were believing God for and instead of turning around and saying, well, we'll come back later or we'll just stand outside and we'll just believe for the overflow, would we have the tenaciousness to drive in, dig in, climb up the building, do whatever it took to put ourselves before Jesus? And I got to ask you today, what are we doing where the Lord can look over and see our faith? Do we just hear the world's complaints, a little bit of negativity, a little bit of back up, a little bit of resistance against you? Do you give up your faith? Do you give up your hope? Do you throw your dreams aside? Do you cast it in and bail out? Or are you going to stick to what you believe? And when you have hope that someone's going to be set free, are you going to carry your faith until people think you're strange? I want to ask this question. Listen to this. Jesus said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Their faith stirred him beyond just the physical. Their faith stirred him to the point where he said, I'm going to go to the true problem of this man. This man does not have faith to believe that he can be forgiven. He does not have faith to believe that his past is wiped away. Oh, I'm about to get strange. And when Jesus, listen to this, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, say, who is this which speaketh such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, oh, see, here's where we got to get to. He answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your heart? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. Now before we get to that, because immediately it happened, I just want to remind you of something. See, these people that were reasoning against Christ, they weren't saying it out loud. When he said, thy sins be forgiven thee, their doubts were not out loud. They just had reasoning and harsh thoughts towards God in their heart. And I got to ask this again. What are you doing where the Lord can look and see your faith? See, I'm not just interested in what you're doing outwardly. Right here, these men were sitting around, and in their minds, they were reasoning, who is this guy that believes he has the right to forgive sins? Are you sitting here reasoning in your mind with God that you can never be forgiven of your past? Are you sitting in here reasoning in your mind with God, well, maybe I don't deserve this because of what I did. Maybe I can't have this. Maybe they'll never be safe. Maybe I was a bad person. parent. Maybe I was just, maybe this is upon them because it's all my fault and it's never going to get better. Maybe you're reasoning things in your heart and I got to ask you to stop because what is in your faith? Let's talk about a strange day. I want to give you a dare. What are you going to do if tomorrow I get up and I put on Facebook Live, hey, I want you to know that I'm still walking and I've never sinned. I want you to know I'm still walking and I don't even have a past. It doesn't exist. Now we're in the pressure zone, ain't we? We're in the pressure zone right now. Boy, if I did that, would you guys be strange enough to come right back into church here and say, yeah, I know what the wild man said, but he's our pastor. And he's only proclaiming what the Word says because the Bible says that God has forgiven us and our sins have been cast from the east to the west. Only us keep bringing it up and keep putting it on ourselves until it limits and hinders our ability to think clearly to do anything. What are you doing with your sin that Jesus can look and see it and respond? Because it says that they were looking strange. People were thinking they were nuts. What are they doing taking that paralyzed man to the roof? Are they crazy? Well, if he gets hurt, boy, it's going to be all there. Blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you, what are they doing? But they were strange enough to take their faith to a place where nobody in the world might not have seen this faith, but Jesus was there to say, I see your faith. I tell you what are you giving to God? And what are you reasoning in your mind that God can see, that he can see is not faith? Yes, listen, he said this. Never says that they spoke a word after. He said, what reason do you in your heart? And I want to challenge us today. What are we thinking in our heart against God that might be limiting him from seeing our faith? What are we not allowing the blood to cover, remove, and forgive us enough that we can stand there with a clean slate and believe God for what he's asking us to pray for? Listen, are you strange enough to get up tomorrow and have a strange day and look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, yeah, but right now I have never seen it. That's scary. That Paul the Apostle was bold enough to stand up in front of the church to be persecuted and say, hey, today I have no blood on my hands and I've wronged no man. Listen to me, I'll tell you what. If you stay so concerned about what people say about you and about what people think about you and what you wrongfully say about yourself, how will we ever see the strange moments of God? Listen, after the Lord spoke to those people, after the Lord straightened things out, and after the Lord said to this man, go into thine house. It says immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I got to use my word right now. Wow. I got to tell you something. I didn't know it, but one day my nephews and nieces, they said, Uncle, they said, you speak a lot with that word, wow. And I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, we know that when you're sincerely encouraged about something that God does, you say, wow. They said, we also know that when you don't like something we've done, you say, wow. They said, but we want you to also know that when you're pretending to listen to us and you're bored with hearing us, just to try to keep us happy and pretend like you hear us, you say, wow. They said, you say, wow, but you're already distracted with something else. Well, I want to make sure you know today that when I use my wow word, I'm sitting here saying wow because of the power of this strange moment where the Lord lifted the forgiveness of sin and lifted a disability off of a man in a moment of time because people released their faith. And I want you to know what the people said. They were all amazed. And they glorified God. And they were filled with fear, which is a reverence for God, and an awe, an amazing awareness of who he was, saying, "We have seen strange things today." I pray that God makes you a people that sees strange things. I promise you that I'm believing God that whether it's in your finances, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's in your relationships, your families, whether it's in the hopes and the dreams that God is releasing to you in the future, I pray that you have moments where you say, "Wow, we have seen strange things today." Amen. Praise God. I saw Prince graduate just a couple weeks ago, and I had to say, "Lord, I have seen strange things." Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. But no, but what I'm saying to you is, honestly, think about this. People, if you're going to be in the body of Christ, you have got to get to where you're uncomfortable and you're not sure because you experience God in the secret. Listen, I'm expecting you to come to me and say, "Pastor, I was praying the other day and it's like I heard God. Pastor, I was praying the other day and I just begin to weep. Pastor, I was praying the other day and it's like my room got filled with this presence. Pastor, I went down and I was going to see somebody that I witnessed to 10 times and they yelled at me, but I went to see him and the strangest thing happened. They said, would you pray for me?" Listen, I'm telling you that we need to see strange things and we need to be an unusual people and we need to see the supernatural God. I pray that we get those days of Pentecost. I pray just like in the book of Acts where they said, "Hey, we saw so much from God that we got persecuted, and when we got free, the first thing we did was come back into his presence and say, 'Lord, touch us again that we can receive hope.'" And they were touched again. The building was shaken during the presence of God again. I tell you what, I hope that you end up seeing this thing. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare your grace, your mercy. Father, we speak right now boldly. Father, I pray, God, that there are people that are going to start business. There are people that are coming into new relationships. There are people that are changing jobs. There are people that are believing you to step into ministries, to do our ministries, God. God, there are people right now believing you, God, that as we grow as a church, that they will do more and have more responsibility. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, that the abundance of your grace will be upon them, Lord, that they would pursue you in prayer, that they would pursue you in reading the Word, that they would take action steps of faith, God, and even if it looks strange, God, I pray that it looks strange to the world, because then it will begin to produce kingdom results. Lord, I pray that your people would be bold enough to make strange statements. I am with you. I have no fear. And I belong to the Lord. He is mine and I am yours. And he loves me. And he has declared that he's chosen. He's declared that he's blessed me. And he raised me in the face of his greatness. Now, Lord, right now I speak to all of those who may be watching us on live streaming today. And God, I declare your blessing upon them. Lord, those in need of a miracle, in fact, I see someone right now who's down sick. He's been down sick for a while, and you've been praying, and I just see God releasing in you a miracle right now. I'm speaking to you right now that may be watching today, and you're like, "Pastor, you seem strange, but in a good way. And I want to be strange." Just call upon the name of the Lord. You'll begin to experience it. I want to speak Lord, right now, God, right now, I pray, God, for members and millions of the family, Father, they're leaving this area today and leaving the area forward. I pray the Lord will really be a family of God, and Lord, that you would keep it up for you. Let them join the faith, but God, I pray that when they find the church, they find you, and you bless them. Lord, I pray.